on at 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning and a very good morning and welcome to the studio. Elson Go from EG Financial Services.
Good morning, Mike.
It is lovely to have you in today.
Very happy to be here.
You're looking very sharp today, looking like you're ready to do some business, I reckon, Elson. would that be right?
Always.
Absolutely. It's great to have you in. Now, we're going to be talking about some stats today. Some of the stats behind what we see on through advertising.
Yes.
It's really interesting. We read lots of stats. I like statistics, actually.
And then that's great.
I wouldn't say that I absorb them all, but I do actually enjoy looking at numbers and statistics, but not everyone does.
No. And I think we are constantly being exposed and confronted with statistics, you know, that's what we always, and in terms of finances, we are always being asked the question, are you aware that you would have 1 out of 7 years of negative returns? And that's a stats.
Is it all about stats for you as a financial guy? I mean, it's all about the numbers, right?
It is. Well. It is. And sometimes trying to...
Projections as well?
Correct. And sometimes trying to tell people that, you know, it's not as difficult, but it can get quite confusing sometimes.
Mm.
You know, I think in the media, you can see that there's quite a few talk about, you know, what are all the dangerous activities that you can do. And there's a campaign going on. And it shows you, you know, one in out of how many people would have all these, you know, things that would happen to them.
Well, we are in the current COVID climate. We're getting lots of numbers and statistics thrown at us. Sometimes it can be difficult to kind of work your way through that and understand it because there is so many.
Correct. Correct.
And different measurements and different, yeah.
Yeah. And when they say one out of something, so one out of the number, you want that number to be as big as you can.
Of course.
So that the probability of it occurring is very low. So for example, they said something like, you know, 1 out of 623 may have something happen to them when they walk down the street. So that's 1 out of 623 people. That's quite small, actually. So you want a number to be really big.
But you still prefer that to be higher, right?
yeah well that's, so unless you're talking about winning the Powerball lottery.
That's what are the chances of that?
That's,
have you got some numbers?
Yes.
But we'll talk about that later.
No. I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
The Powerball lottery, the chances of winning is 1 out of 292 million.
Whoa. That is incredible.
200. And that's a huge number. So the probability of winning is very, very low.
Yeah, okay.
Now the question is, why do we still buy that ticket?
That's right. Because people think they've still got a chance, right?
I'll talk about that after the break, because this is actually being studied in what a particular field in finance, and that's called behavioral finance.
Behavioral finance.
Correct. So there is actually a particular field in finance that talks about how are we wired when it comes to numbers?
Okay.
And how do we react when we are presented with different choices?
Mm. All right. Well, if you do know the Powerball number, text through on 0429-985-985 back after this. Sarah Reeves and Just Want Hugh, you are on 98.5 Weekdays with Mike. Elson Go, we are talking finance this morning. Elson, you mentioned behavioural, our behaviours with a lot of the statistics and numbers. Tell us more.
Correct. So in behavioural finance, it covers a lot of different areas, but one of the areas is what we call framing.
Okay, so I haven't heard of this yet.
So when people are presented with options and they will often look for the positives and the negatives, And they'll always go for the positives.
Okay.
So they would tend to shy away or they'll tend to avoid the negatives. So in this particular study by Professor Jeffrey Brown, they were looking at different people and how they were willing to purchase this annuity as a product.
Okay.
But the way they frame or gave instructions of or description of how that product worked made a huge difference in the uptake. So when they framed it in terms of this particular product as an investment, you have to generate a certain number of return, only 20% took it up, as compared with 70% when they framed it as, oh, it's going to generate an income for you to live comfortably in your retirement.
Okay.
So just this, it's the same product, but phrased in a different way. Now this is where the lottery example would come in. You know, we are presented with the odds of the probability of winning is so small when it comes to lottery, but we still buy it because why? it is being framed as the good news story. It can change your life. And when we read our reports of that particular person winning that lottery, having that huge win.
That could be me.
Yes. Yeah. So we would still make that choice irregardless of the stats that are being thrown at you.
I mean, is it just good marketing, clever marketing?
It's the way we are wired. I think, and that's where I suppose, if you talk about survival, it would help us or prevent us from doing, silly things. But when it comes to finance, you find that these stats can sometimes work against us. Why? Because you will often hear stories of, this young person buying this Bitcoin or buying this cryptocurrency, and then, they are now billionaires, and we buy into that. Never hear stories of a person saving money, putting money in super, doing the hard yards, and retiring comfortably. You don't hear those stories.
Yeah, okay.
And that's why when we're presented with the choice of where we're going to invest our money, where do you think, who do you think would win? The lure of that particular, talk of the town, or the, boring, consistent stuff.
Mm.
So I think that's where, in terms of behavioral finance, we got to be quite cautious in terms of what type of news we are listening and how we are responding when it comes to these kind of of news.
Interesting. We'll take a break. Wonder how Bitcoin's going at the moment. That's a whole nother subject. We won't go there. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Back soon. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike and Ilson Goh from EG Financial Services in the studio. We've been talking about finances this morning. You've got another interesting study there from Harvard University, Ilson.
And so,
got another one?
So we're talking about this difficulty in terms of numbers, right?
Statistics.
Statistics. And we want to overlay with another area of behavioral finance, and that is called cognitive impairment. So when it comes to numbers, there is something working against us. So in this particular study, They ask, three simple questions of what is the biggest risk of getting a disease? And they give them three choices, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, and 1 in 10. So what is the biggest risk? Okay, so the answer is, Mike?
What's that? am I meant to be looking at this statistic here?
Yeah, correct. So you've got three choices. Which is the most biggest risk of getting a disease? 1 in 100? 1 in 1,000?
One in 10? 1 in 100. Definitely. One in 100.
Okay. So you would have got that answer wrong.
That's right.
Okay. Now, so they asked...
Hang on. What age group was this?
Okay. So they asked all different ages.
So this is across the board.
Across the board. Now, it turns out that even university undergrads, 4% got it wrong.
Okay.
And that's why when I talk about when it comes to numbers, sometimes we are wired against that. It just confuses some people. And in that particular study, they also study older people. Okay. And as
how do you define older? What age group?
So
is that?
In that particular study, anyone above 65 is slightly older.
Yep.
Okay. And in that study, they found that the effects of dementia doubles every 5 years above age 60. So that means as we grow older, numbers gets harder.
Interesting.
Okay. And in fact, in that particular study, only 70% of people above 65 got the answer right.
Okay.
So 30% got that wrong.
Interesting. And how do we get better at that?
I think that sometimes it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's not something that I think we can train up because of the fact that A, we are biased against bad news, and B, there's just just the general population. I mean, there were some people who find numbers hard.
True.
So I think the advice would be that don't shy away from help. So I think as you grow older, get someone who is younger to act as a sounding board. It could be a family member, it could be a friend or a trusted advisor. Someone that you can bounce ideas of when it comes to numbers, when it comes to finances, someone that you can consult and ask. And if you want to formalize that relationship, you could have an enduring power of attorney, or if you want something less, complete, you want to specify which area, maybe have a non-enduring power of attorney. So that's to make it a bit more formal. But having someone that you can consult, bounce ideas off when it comes to numbers is really important.
Particularly, I was just thinking, particularly in this day and age, Ilson, where there's a lot of, we've spoken about this before, a lot of scams going around. And they will often will target older people. And you hear some pretty sad stories. So that's really important, isn't it?
Correct.
To have that help and support.
So I often ask or advise people of a certain age, when they are presented with choices, often bounce those choices and ideas off somebody else.
It's good. Good thing to do. Ilson, we are out of time once again. Really appreciate you coming in. Hey, before you go, I was going to ask you, we're in such a different time now with COVID. We're not travelling as much, obviously. Have you visited any regional towns recently over the last 12 months?
No, I haven't.
Haven't been out anywhere regional?
No, I haven't.